Hello and welcome to Hull Seahawks Behind the Curtain and to part two of our episode of Sylvain Cloutier. In this part, we're going to talk all things Hull ice hockey and talk about how Sylvain came to be with the Hull Stingrays, how much he enjoyed his time in Hull and his favourite memories of being in the city. We'll also talk about the Hull Seahawks and about how Matty sort of is taking some tips from his time with Sylvain and using that in his coaching game. And also about the big tip on Brock Bartholomew. So make sure you sit back, enjoy, tune in to the next 50 minutes of myself, Matty and Sylvain talking all things Hull ice hockey. The next move was the big one for us anyway. The Hull Stingrays, how did that come about, of course? I'm sure you had links in and around the UK from the Coventry days, but sort of how did that, was that approach made?
Well, I had a few, I kept in touch with Tomo in Coventry. So, we kept in touch. We were good friends. And so he called me. He offered me another 2-year contract to come back to Coventry and play. We were debating it because we really enjoyed our time in Coventry. Loved it. Made a lot of friends. And the fans were great there. And then... forget now, I think him and Simsy were in the car together. Simsy might have mentioned Hall's looking for a coach. So, and Tomo was okay with that. He was like, I'll give you Mike and Sue's phone number. And I think that's where he goes, check it out, see what you think. If not, our 2-year offer in Coventry is still there. So I ended up calling Sue and Mike. And you know what? They're such nice people. Hit it off with them. Right away, we ended up talking, and the more we talked, and they made me an offer. It was a 2-year offer at the time, and I have nothing but good things to say about Mike and Sue. When I met them, and over the phone, and we talked, and we worked it out, and there's only one player that was signed, I think, at the time, and that was Kalmi Kamikov was the only guy that was signed. So, obviously a great player. One of the best offensive gifted player to ever play with. But they called me, then they flew me over, came to Hull, visited the city. At first I got some text messages from players in Coventry, and they're like, really, you're going to Hull? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to Hull. I guess I'm pretty easygoing, come from a small town, so... a hockey town's a hockey town, and Hull was, when I used to come from Coventry, obviously we just pulled into the arena. I didn't really see anything. So when I went there, and obviously we stayed right in the city center. So I went and walked around, and you know what? It's a really nice place. Like, I love my time there, but it was a really nice place. Like, I was calling Katie and telling her, it's really nice. And walking by the water, all that stuff. I mean, I guess I don't know if I should say this, people put it down, but I don't think it's a bad place at all. I think it's a great place to live, and I got great memories there. So no, it was an excellent choice. They were great to me and my family. Right to the last day when they had to pull the plug, they took care of me and my family, and they were nice people. And maybe if they would have lived in Hull, maybe it would have been a different thing, right? They lived away from the city, and it must have been hard for them to commute and try to get the people of Hull to buy in too. Maybe that's because they were from the outside, but I think they did a great job at keeping hockey in Hull, and they were good to me. And I'm thankful they brought me over.
No, I'd certainly have to agree. And me and Matty have been speaking about, our last episode of the podcast was with a young lad called Owen Bruton, only 16, playing for the Seahawks. And sort of he remembers watching the Stingrays at around that sort of similar era as well. And who knows, had it, not been kept alive through, Mike and Sue, whether that next generation, and it's not just Owen, there's a few players, who are a little bit older than Owen, but, early 20s that might not have even come through, had that old, not happen the way it did in sort of the mid-noughties. Talking of that first season, though, Clutes, of course, it was a tough year on the ice for the Stingrays, and of course, your former club Coventry won the league that year. It was, I imagine, a bittersweet one there, but it was sort of, the first sort of step on the ladder, essentially, and you knew you had a bit of a project underway in Hull.
Yeah, I mean, and the fans let me know too. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, you have to earn their trust, the people in Hull and our fans. Like, they're awesome, but there were certain people obviously that were questioning my stuff and what I was doing. But you know what? Like, I have no regrets. Every player I signed, every guy that came through that room, there was reasons for it, with our budgets and everything. Costs and everything. But the first year, yeah, was it tough? Yeah, we got off to a great start. Like, we had a great preseason. We had a really tough schedule to start, which is not an excuse, but we also lost some guys. Like, we ended up, you know, Gloa got hurt, had a concussion. I think at one point we might have been playing with seven imports for a while, and I think we had the brawl in Cardiff. I think that was part of that start. So I think we lost a few bodies there, right? I think, Maddie, So, yeah, we got off to a rough start. And I thought Tommy Sandel, okay, yeah, wasn't maybe the best, but I thought he had a really good start to the season. And I think after a while, when you face 60 shots every night and our defense wasn't the best, and, you know, it was a learning curve as a group. And you know what? We got through it though, like, and then we picked up Marty Radoms, who came in and gave us a chance every night. I mean, I'll never blame our goalie. I'll never blame Tommy. Like, I think Tommy was a decent keeper, but I think he just lost all his confidence. He was a young goalie. They got put in a situation probably shouldn't have been put in, and you know, I can admit it. I recruited him, so it would fall back on me. But when we picked up Radoms, I wish you could have kept him, because I think he was a solid netminder. He came in, gave us a chance every night. We were in games. No, it was a learning curve. And then, you know, we got rid of certain people, certain players, and you know, they're all good people, but it just didn't fit into the puzzle. And we added certain people, and yeah, we went on from there.
Of course, year two is when the Coventry ownership sort of, you know, take hold. There's the, as you mentioned before, you know, a difficulty with the budget. The fans were also not too happy with that side of things. Untrusting is maybe a word that some people might throw out there. But you started to put together that core that people remember from sort of your time in Hull. It all started to really come together year two with, you know, players you knew, like, you know, Curtis Doolay and Jeremy Tendler. That was the year they came in, you know, rise up the league, you know, a respectable seventh on the season as well. Better things were around the corner, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, the disappointing thing about when they decided to pull up and Coventry took over, we had, you know, put a pretty good team together. We didn't get to see Korchinski come play for us. Guillaume Lepine was coming to play for us. Like, we would have had a different look. And then that's when we ended up picking up certain Latvian players, because they were last minute pickups. And, you know, but the group of guys like that we had, like with the Tendlers, Dooley, Maddie, Silverthorne, and, you know, they're just some of the guys that were around and wanted to be in Hull, wanted to be part of the program. And, you know, it's no one, like, going through the recruiting, like, I tried to talk to players a bit earlier, because I knew if, like, a certain player, like, even Adam Keefe, coach in Belfast, and I talked to his agent at the time and the 1 year, and I made him a pretty good offer, but they came back to me and said, can you match what Belfast has got to offer? Well, I was like, there's no chance. Like, can't do that. I probably would have had to cut two young British players and probably an import to add the total together to make it work. So I tried. I thought we had it at one point, but you know, it didn't work out. But that was part of my job there with what we work with. Anyone can attest to that. I mean, even Omar did a great job when he recruited his team and the budget he had. But you got to do your homework and who you're going to get in. Like, Coburn would have been a great guy to keep, like, for another year. Like, he was a big piece of it. If he would have came back that year, I mean, that makes our team, again, you know, solid down the middle. And who knows what happens? They're all what ifs. But you know what? Like, I really enjoyed, obviously, three ownerships in 5 years. That was tough, because they're all different people and how they see things and work. But I made it work, and no, it was a lot of fun.
One thing I was actually going to say for the end of the piece, but I think it might come up at this point anyway, was going to be favourite memory on the ice for Hull. And it might be towards the end of year three, I assume, with the playoff run and the Sheffield Steelers sort of reverse games.
Yeah, I mean, that season, I mean, I had, like, the toughest part that year was I had to let go of my captain before Christmas. So we had to cut budget. And I didn't want to let him go. I mean, to this day, I mean, if Miz ever listens to this, I don't think we've ever spoken since. And that's a tough thing, right? Because he was a teammate of mine back in the U.S. We played together. And for people that understand hockey, they would get it that he wasn't the flashiest defenseman, but he did all the little things right. He could kill penalties, block shots, fit in my budget. He's a great team guy, great leader in the room. And to get called in the office by the ownership and say, I gotta let him go, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas. That's a pretty hard thing to do to someone before Christmas. So, yeah, when I called them in after the game, they wanted it done after, I think it was Saturday night game or a Sunday night game at home. And like, I know you asked me about my favorite memory, but that's because it is part of it. This is where it all started. I think motivation too for everybody, but let him go was really hard because of the timing. And then the season went on. We couldn't get another import. We weren't allowed to get a new import. And then the same ownership group, I know it's different businesses at the time. Coventry ended up picking up a Swedish player at the deadline to bring their imports up, and we couldn't do it. And I kind of argued that one because I felt we had a pretty good team. We played short and we're in the playoffs. We're fighting. We're in there. I think it kind of motivated everybody too, if Matty remembers, but you know, we were short. Like, we had some young Brits playing in our lineup, and then to go against Sheffield too, like the budget they have. And you know what? I think the group we had, we all believed and we bought in and we went into that series. And you know, what a feeling. Like, it was like winning an elite league title, to be honest, because we were the underdog. They were the Giants, like, and they were what, maybe 70 more points than us, 60 more points than us. And you know, some of the guys at the games that are alive, like Matty had an awesome two games that weekend, like Silverthorne, like Derek Campbell, like scoring the hat trick in Sheffield. Like, when Soupy was on, he was one of the guys you couldn't stop. When he was focused and wanted to play hockey, like, he was one of the better players. And sometimes he got away from that, but when he was on, he was on. Like, so, I mean, that game in Sheffield, and favorite memory was coming off the bus, not even on the ice, just coming off the bus with all the fans, you know, Jellyfish and all the guys, fans being there and coming to the pub with us. I mean, you know, that was like one championship, right? That was the first time. That was kind of the start. And the guys did it again, I think the following year, but yeah, it was, or the year after that. But it was unbelievable feeling, like even being on the ice in Nottingham when, yeah, we lost in Nottingham, but you know what? I was proud of that group. It was a special group, and you know, I could get emotional about it right now, but just seeing our fans chanting and dancing, like, they didn't stop. We came back out. We went in the room. We went back on the ice again to see them. So, no, it was definitely my favorite memory. It was awesome. And the last memory I have was the one my last year there. You know, I knew something was up. You know, I'll say people should have been upfront and honest, but they weren't. When we did the walk around the rink, I were cleaning, going through our basement yesterday, and I found a picture of me walking around the rink and basically get emotional now, but basically saying goodbye to the fans, right? I didn't really get to do that or make that call that it was my last game at home. And when you're a professional athlete, well, Matty knows, and you play that long, you know, people should have the respect to let you know it will be your last game and tell you ahead of time so you can enjoy that moment and let people know too. So that memory, walking around and shaking hands and taking pictures with them, was one of my favorites too. And a sad one, obviously.
You know, the fans absolutely, you know, absolutely adored you. And, you know, despite the fact they never got like an official send off on that final game, that they very much, you know, will be in under the understanding of the situation. In terms of the you know, the disappointment of it, but also there's the fond memories as well, isn't there? You know, we've looked back on so many of them today. You know, even with those last few, you know, seasons, you know, the last two that we've not really gone into. I say 50% win ratio in the final season as well. You know, as we mentioned earlier, how tight a league that was. And, you know, some really, really top Hull teams coming through. And Matty, I'm going to bring you back in now because, you've sat very patiently and, you know.
Just enjoying it, mate. Enjoying hearing the, you know.
Too much.
No, it's great. I've a lot of them things that, you know, I've never even heard him talk about. So, you know, it's really interesting to, you know, to hear his life in terms of his get the game and what he's done. So now he's enjoying it.
And of course, he mentioned your games against Sheffield in year three in that playoffs. But of course, you know, Sylvain was there for your sort of growth as a player in Hull, you know, all the way from, you know, your first year, you know, and then through years one and two, then he spent time, you know, back in the EPIHL as well. And then, you know, cemented himself, you know, solid starter in that whole team from year three. And you just grew as a player, you know, scoring, you know, I think two best years of your career points, well, you know, in terms of the Elite League points-wise with those last 2 years under Sylvain as well. As a coach and sort of as a line or teammate as well, and a friend for you as well, I'll throw that in too. You know, what does Sylvain mean to you in terms of those three things as a coach, a teammate and a friend?
There's a lot of things there. You know, for me, you know, I've said it many times on several different things, but you know, for me, I don't think I'd be where we are now. You know, in my life generally, without sort of the influence of Klutz. You know, a lot sort of went on at the time when I sort of came back to Hull, and you know, I had a difficult season sort of away. The last season I had in Swindon was, you know, it was tough. I got injured and, you know, I came back home. I'd met Sam and sort of the summer before. So, you know, the long distance thing is difficult. So, you know, we made the decision that, you know, I was going to move back home. I was still obviously really young at this point. It's, you know, 20 years old and, you know, you're sort of just trying to figure out, you know, where you're going in the game, but also your life as well. You know, I'd gone from sort of the year before, you know, in Swindon, I was, you know, pretty much, you know, touted as, you know, one of the best in the league. And then I just had a bad year. And ice hockey's fickle, you know, 1 year you can be, you know, the best thing. And the next year it's, you know, you sort of, it's tough. And Klutz knows that. It's every year, you're fighting for your job and your place. But no, I think coming back, you know, Klutz mentioned Mike and Sue, but I have the same opinion about Mike and Sue. I think, you know, they did a lot for Hull. I think people maybe don't realise sort of the, you know, now I'm in this position, what I'm doing now, it's sort of, you know, I can put myself sort of in their shoes a little bit more now and sort of understand what they did. Look, it's really, really difficult to run a team in any league, but especially in that league and in Hull. You know, look, you're up against them machines, them absolute monsters in the arena teams, and you know, we was always up against it. We always had that little chip on our shoulder. We sort of, you know, went into, you know, a lot of games, and we lived on that, really. We lived on that little chip, and that's why, you know, when Klutz is, you know, getting emotional, and, you know, I could as well, because when I think back, you know, there's a lot of times where, like, and people, you know, people wouldn't realize unless you was in that room, and, you know, we went through a lot of things. You know, there was times when there was 12 of us just, you know, on practice, and, you know, you're looking around and you've got to go and play against the Nottingham Panthers, or, you know, the Steelers are coming into Hull, and, you know, I mean, Klutz is probably looking around and looking at who he's got. And we had to really, you know, we had to fully bond as a group. And there was so many different, like, groups that had to do that. But in terms of sort of, you know, the fundamental core of the team was the same for a few years, and that was, we was really close, you know, a lot of us were really close, and, you know, we went through a lot in such a short space of time in the grand scheme of things, but it really felt like, you know, it felt like a massive, massive part of my life, you know, and sort of the whole thing with coming back to Hull and starting, I guess, my real career in the Elite League, I guess it's, you know, I had to, you know, really grow up. I had a lot of growing up to do. And, you know, again, you know, Klutz basically sort of played, you know, the whole role in me sort of being 20, 21, 22, 23, coming into sort of, you know, being a man, I guess it, you know, at that point, there was a lot of tough, you know, there was a tough time for me in terms of what I was going through off the ice. You know, me and Klutz spoke about, you know, certain things. There was lots of stuff that, you know, everyone's dealing with stuff, and it was, you know, I had other things that I was dealing with, and you know, you're trying to find your way in the game, and I was probably, you know, people know what I'm like, but I was like Luke said it earlier, but you're a young, arrogant kid, and honestly, there's probably no one more arrogant than me. And it's just, you know, that's sort of just the way, I guess, look, being 5 foot five, 5 foot six, something's got to be wrong with your brain, right? You've got to be a little bit wired up wrong. And I had to do that, right? I had to play with a chip, and I had to sort of prove that, you know, I had something more than just being a skilled guy or offering this. And, you know, Klutz is right when he says you have to, you know, do your role for the team. You know, at that point, I was just trying to find my role. I was constantly saying to Klutz or showing him in practice, and Klutz, like, put me with someone that can shoot, put me with someone, you know, like, two-on-ones, and I'd be, like, cutting across the net, drop passing, and I can literally, you know, look at it right now, and we'd score, and I'd look right at him, and he'd probably have a little smirk, and then he'd be like, you know, shoot the puck, Matty, like, all the time, you know, like, these are all the things, you know, that I had to, you know, sort of, I had to grow up, and honestly, like, it wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't be the person I am now today without Klutz. I've got so much, you know, admiration and respect for him that I can't, you know, I guess even sort of in my life as a whole, going into sort of everything, I guess, like, even now having kids and getting married, like, you know, I saw what Klutz was fundamentally as a person, and, you know, look, he was just sort of a role model. That's the best way I can say it. You know, he, you know, he's a great dad. He's a family man, and, you know, he cares about people around him. And, you know, I had to, you know, I couldn't have learned from somebody better. And that's why I'm so, you know, passionate about sort of, you know, people around me that I tell, and, you know, when he said, you know, that he didn't get to finish, you know, the right way, and, you know, that sort of makes me choke up a little bit, because, you know, just going through that myself, you know, recently, it's, you know, it's tough. You know, you've got to sort of understand that, like, you play so long and you do so much in this game that, you know, to not get the, you know, the real opportunity to say bye to even just, you know, your family are there. It'll be the last time they get to see you with skates on, and just yourself. You want to do yourself, you know, the right way, the justice that you deserve, to just say bye, and the last time you step off the ice will be the last time you ever do it. And it's difficult, and, you know, just sort of going back over that time, you know, it was a really special time in my life, and I think a lot of the guys that were there at that time, because, you know, Klutz said it, but, you know, the fans, you know, once they bought into Klutz, I guess, you know, everyone bought in. They weren't just, you know, there was no one that was just sort of, you know, maybe not feeling it or whatever. Everyone just got behind us. You know, we was just this underdog team that we came and we just give it, and we just sort of played with basically Klutz's philosophy and sort of Klutz's mentality just sort of just poured out into everyone in the team. And that's, you know, look, when you've got someone, you know, who's a player coach and, you know, he's playing 30 minutes a night plus, and, you know, he's got two knee braces on, and, you know, he's telling you in between periods, you know, to, let's be honest, to pick it up, let's go, you know, you do it. There's no questions asked. And, you know, it's just, you know, you sort of go through your career, and there's certain people, and Klutz, you know, be able to attest to this. There's certain people that you remember that have a real impact on you as a person, as a player. And yeah, that, you know, that through that time, again, there was a lot of difficult times as well. You know, me and Klutz, you know, we did have some tough conversations, and, you know, he had to tell me, and I needed telling. You know, I had to realize that, you know, I was wrong. I was wrong in certain aspects, and I had to grow up and realize that you can't do things like that. And, you know, he told his story about, you know, not, you know, taking his chin strap off, and he'll remember there was something very similar for me. And, you know, I'll never forget that, because that was sort of a real sort of turning point in my life, in terms of, you know, it was a Wednesday night game. We was playing against Dundee, and, you know, like Klutz said, you know, I think I'm doing a good job. I think I'm playing well. And I always did, you know, that's what you do, you know, and you sort of, when you're not getting the ice time, you think you're not, you know, you should be getting, it's difficult, right? You just don't see it the way that the coach sees, but you know, you haven't had that conversation. You don't know the true ins and outs of what it is. But, you know, I did the same thing, you know, I refused to go on the ice. And honestly, that was, you know, I still now think about, and I've spoke about with people, you know, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that, you know, I had that, you know, and now being this side of it, and, you know, having to sort of coach a team now, you know, you think about, you know, players doing that, you know, to me, and, you know, you just, it's tough. And the way Klutz dealt with it was a lot better than I think I would deal with it.
But it's also a pride thing, right? Like, you have pride. Yeah. So, and, you know, it was a learning curve for me too, because I'd never had that happen to me before or what, but it was both a learning curve for both of us. And your passion, your commitment to the game, and how hard you worked off the ice, like, I get it, right? Like, you get it. Like, it's a competitor, right? So,
yeah,
nothing to be embarrassed about. Those are things we do. It's an emotional game, and it happens.
Yeah, for sure.
I would ask, do you think, remembering how your coach dealt with it in Houston, do you think that maybe helped with the way you dealt with it with Matty?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, you look at Todd McLellan and his career, and how he handled us that year. Like, there was a lot of characters in that team, in that room. And as a coach, those are things, like, you know, you learn every year. I still learn. Like, I can probably sit here with Matty and talk about strategies and different things and learn from him. And, you know, we pick up things from different coaches. And for sure, I picked that up. Him and Bruce Cassidy, like, there was John Cunniff, another coach that, you know, is a very intense man, and would come in and he'd be extremely intense in the dressing room, which you could never do nowadays. But, you know, you take things from everybody that's coached you. And yeah, that was one of those things where, you know, a player's coach, I think, is a big thing nowadays, especially nowadays, because people are, this new generation is totally different now. But no, I think it definitely helped me. It was a learning curve, and not only from Todd McLellan, Paul Thompson, how he was in Coventry too, the door was always open to chat with him about anything. So and I think as a player, when I play, those are the guys you want to play for, and you want to pour it all out, guys that care about you, not guys that just shut that door in the office and you can't go talk to them, or you're scared to talk to them. And, you know, that's still how I am with the young players I coach now. But yeah, those are the guys that I went through the wall for. I mean, don't get me wrong, I went through the wall for everybody, because that's just how I played. But there's certain coaches I like more. But that experience, yeah, that happened with Houston, yeah, definitely helped me deal with Matty too, for sure.
whilst we're still on the talking of your time in Hull, there is a couple of few things before we then go on to talk about time back in, you know, Canada and Corpus Christi. Is we've mentioned a lot of guys, but on the ice, we talked a lot about what happened on the ice and, you know, the fans as well. But your memories of Hull away from the Stingrays, do you still have pretty fond memories of the place, you know, and the things that you used to do and you used to love when you were here?
Yeah, well, there's lots I love. Obviously, we played five-a-side football with Maddie in our group. We had, I mean, it was awesome. A blast. You know, I wasn't very good at it, but, you know, I went out and it kept us in shape.
He was all right. Don't let him tell you that. I'll tell you what. He was the patroller at the back, you know, never let anyone get past him.
I think they could, they could teach a few things to a lot of the lads getting off the bus outside the Hull Ice Arena at the moment, trying to kick drones out the sky and things like that, maybe.
There you go, mate. Hey, we had a decent record as well. We had... No, that was great. You know what that was?
It
was...
We won the championship.
We won it all. I think that was... That was such a good thing because, you know, for the lads that did it, honestly, or like on a Monday, we look forward to it. It was like, we talk about it, you know, at the weekend, like, you know, I can't wait to play on. Yeah, Monday night was great.
Monday night. I was hoping we had a good weekend so we could have Monday morning off so I could have more energy for my soccer game at night. But no.
Yeah, honestly.
Those are good memories because they're away from the rink, obviously seeing those guys, and that was fun. But also, like, you know, we made friends. Like, when my daughter's going to school there, like, my daughters went to school in South Cave. We got to know the teachers there at school, and then, you know, I did some talks there at the school in the gym there, and just the people we met in South Cave at the time. We, you know, Richard Jobes was our neighbor at the time. His daughter is the same age as Chloe, and they owned a bike shop in town in Hall. I don't know if they still do or not, but
they still do.
I don't know, he was a huge hockey fan, so I don't know. I don't know if he's still there, but we got to know him. And then Katie with working and teaching at different schools, and she made friends. So we got to know and meet different couples, like, and I guess get away from the game too. So you can go and have dinner with people away from hockey and you know, just got away from it. I made some of our fans that became friends with. There's a certain group I became friends with, another group I became friends with. I would meet them sometimes on a Friday night. In Brough, there was a pub we'd go to, and, you know, I hate to say this. It's like, I love the pubs. Like, I love the pubs. I love going into a pub and you know, trying whatever food they had or trying the different pints and, you know, just the experience, and the football would be on TV. And, you know, it was different for us, right? It's different culture at home. We got all the Tim Hortons. We don't have pubs everywhere. Yeah, we have bars, but I just love going into old pubs. Anytime we went to different cities and we traveled, we always went and make sure we went to a pub and checked it out. And no, I had a blast. I mean, the people we met there's a couple that came over from England. They came and spent time with us. The lady worked with Katie, and they came and spent a week, and we took them around Toronto and Niagara Falls and all that. And we kept in touch with them. Yeah, obviously it'd be nice to come back to Hull and see everyone, maybe one day. But yeah, no, there's not one bad word about Hull. Like, I still, like, when I got those messages, I was like, yeah, you guys are whacked. Hull's a great place to live, a great place to play hockey. And we do have great fans, by the way.
No, oh, yeah. I say that they'll certainly be, they'll enjoy hearing that one. That's a little pat on the back for them, one of. I think when they're listening to this, and of course, to top it all off, the jersey retirement as well has got to be a pretty special moment for you. And I say it's always there for when you do come back, you know, to see that number on the rafters.
Yeah, no, it was really nice. You know, it's always an honor for sure. You know, when they called me and asked me, it was special. Like, anytime you can get your jersey retired or your number retired and acknowledged, it was really nice because No, I won't go into that, but yeah, no, it was really nice of the ownership to do that. And to, you know, Shane at the time, you know, he was good to meet my family. He flew Katie down and myself, and, you know, it was a short visit. It was a weekend, and but no, it was good. It was nice. It was nice. Got to see a lot of our fans, a lot of faces, and seen or had a chance to, you know, not say goodbye, because it's never goodbye, right? But just to talk with them and to see the whole arena packed, like, it was packed solid. So that was pretty pretty amazing.
Of course, we're going to move on now. We're going to talk Hull Seahawks now, actually. Of course, it's Hull Seahawks behind the curtain. We've got to get it in somewhere. How are you keeping up to date? And of course, we know you'll be chatting with Matty about it all the time. Have you caught any games online? I will ask if you checked out the podcast. No, I won't. But also, as I
say, well, now I know.
And of course, Matty's also, he tips us off that you've been tipping him off a little bit about some imports as well. So you're obviously, you're viewing the Seahawks. What was your opinion like when Matty said he was starting this all up last year?
I think it was awesome. Awesome for Hull, right? I mean, when I saw it and I saw Matty was involved, local guy, you know, loves Hull, has a lot of pride in the city, in the fans, and the hockey part of it. And you know he's going to do a very good job, and he did last year. His hands were tied with not having his imports in. That hurts, right? At that level, you don't have your imports. And Matty being out too, him being injured. You know, you're talking about what, three superstars really, they're out of your lineup. So to replace that stuff. And I kept keeping an eye and seeing, you know, the results, and you can see they were battling and competing every game, and they were close. And then you guys got a bit of a roll. I think after Christmas, you won some games, and I kept checking to figure out the standings, what you guys had to do to make the playoffs. Yeah. Always kept checking. And I think, you know, it's great that Matty's took this on, and, you know, he, just like he said before, like he doesn't give up on anything. He doesn't quit, and he works hard, like just like he did for his hockey career. You know, he'd be at the gym all the time working out more than anyone, and working his butt off in practice as a hockey player. And then he built that business, his off-ice business, how well he's done there too. So, you know, he's going to put everything into it. And I was proud of him. I was happy for him. And, you know, our fans, I call them our fans, but our Hull fans need to get behind him and support him. And this place can really succeed. I mean, it is, there's a lot of hockey fans in Hull, and there's no reason why that building can't be packed for the Seahawks and cheer them on. And I can tell you as a player, when that arena's packed, it gives you that advantage. It gives you more energy, and when you can't say it helps you win games, but it gets you there pretty close for sure.
And of course, Matty, we spoke a lot, you know, at length about the start of the Seahawks and, you know, what you had to do, you know, yourself, Joe and Ian at the time as well, you know, getting the team ready off the ice and on the ice. Was Sylvan someone you turned to for advice on that? Maybe not as in the, you know, the setting up of the club, but of course your first opportunity as a head coach.
Look, me and Clutes have always sort of, you know, we've sent the odd message here and there over the years, you know, if something's happened or, you know, just, how's it going sort of thing. You know what, probably not. I've not spoke to him as much as I probably should have in terms of coaching, and yeah, I think that's probably something I do need to do a little bit more. It's just been such a, you know, a whirlwind of everything, just trying to sort of get everything going, that, you know, I've not had sort of time to even think. I mean, last year, there was no real thought of the coaching side of it. I mean, I've spoke to you about this, Connor, but it was all just trying to get this club in place, right? And there's so much stuff to do. Like, it's endless. Like, I can't even, you know, begin to... And I didn't realize... Like, I realized what I didn't realize. You know, you'll never realize until you do it. And but during the season, look, I think... I've got so much sort of, you know, room to improve on that. And I think, you know, that's sort of now what my, you know, sort of focus is in trying to get to be a better coach, right? And I think, but without speaking to Klutz, I don't really think I need. I've seen everything like from him, and sort of, I might not have spoken to him about this, but everything that he's done, I've taken.
It's rubbed off on you.
Completely, mate. Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many little things that I've taken from Klutz and other coaches too. You know, you mentioned Tommy Watkins. Tommy Watkins was one of the best coaches I had, and as well, and he was someone again. And it's a lot of it all. You know, it boils down to people. You know, good people. You know, that just they're honest people that just want the best for people. But you know, at the end of the day, it's hard work. Hard work. You know, without that, you're not getting anywhere. So, yeah, I think, you know, over the years, sort of watching Klutz in my, like, formative years of sort of my game, they're the biggest, you know, part of sort of my view on the game and how we play. Very similar, you know, we play high tempo. We don't let people rest. We get all over them. What you just said there about the rink, it's so true, and it feeds into sort of how... And we used to do it with Klutz, like the forechecking side of it. If you don't forecheck in Hull, like, it's almost like they're going to be like booing you in a way. Like, it's almost like what's going on? You know, there's like them two, you got A block and, you know, and F block, and they're just, yeah, they want you to just get in there, right? And they feed off that as well. So if you, yeah.
There's a reason we shoot to that end twice again now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's, yeah. And like I say, you know, you take everything that you've learned and good things and bad things. And you try and, you know, just do the best job that you can. But yeah, as you know, we've talked about this with the import situation. You know, he was one of the first people I asked about. You know, when I knew that this year I was going to sign young Canadians, two young Canadians, that was the plan from day one. You know, I asked him straight away, did he have, you know, any sort of information on, they weren't just Brock, there was other guys that, you know, I asked him about, and some guys, you know, he knows a lot of people out there, he knows pretty much everyone in that sort of world, especially junior and the different agents that are out there. So, you know, when I got back, you know, the sort of what he said about Brock, you know, it's what I'd heard as well from sort of other sources in terms of, like, you know, the agent that I'd spoke to, and, you know, he was honest with me about it, and just watching his game tape. You know, this kid could be special, and that's basically, you know, what Klutz said. So, yeah, I trust him 100%, and yeah, went with it.
It's not, you got the same report, right? When you get it from someone, because when you really like a player as a coach, you watch tape on them, and you, not just saying you fall in love with them, but you really like them, you're hoping to get that positive feedback. And then if you get it from someone, and I'm sure when you got it from me, and then I got it from people I knew, it's like that good feeling, right? You're like, all right,
oh yeah,
this guy is like, it feels good. It's when you get a negative and a positive, and you're like, okay,
yeah,
who do you believe here? Who do you trust? And that's the tough one, right? But no, it's always a pleasure. Like, I'm always going to be there for Matty no matter what. I mean, yeah, he played for me. He was a friend. He's a great guy. Yeah, that's never going to change. And like we said earlier, if I see him tomorrow, you know, we could have coffee together, be like we were together, like we never left, right? So, but no, I'd do anything for Matty for sure.
Of course, we are getting near to the end of sort of this, you know, grand episode of Behind the Curtain. But somewhere from what Matty said, and sort of I assumed, you know, from yourself as well, Klutz, this head coaching game, it never stops, does it? You're constantly changing, adapting. And Matty said about learning things and, you know, having, you know, taking bits from different coaches, different people you've worked with. And, you know, yourself now back in Corpus Christi, seems like very different circumstances. It's junior hockey now as well, I believe.
Yes.
And you're on a 4-year deal you've got there? And it sounds like a great project.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it was one of the agreements when I took it on. I, you know, I was working at home. I was doing working in the GTHL in Toronto, AAA. It's one of the biggest AAA leagues, I guess, in the world. You can say the Toronto Red Wings, the Toronto Marlies, like Tavares, Stamkos, all these guys have played there. And I know the parents also they'll think their kids are all playing in the NHL. So that part was a little different coaching minor hockey. Like the kids were awesome. It was the parents you had to deal with. But back to Corpus, yeah, I mean, I took over a team, a program last year when they called me. Basically, I wouldn't say they're rebuild mode. We had the youngest team in our division. We finished in last place. We have 19 returning players. So the way it kind of works, we're going to lose some to the USHL. We lost one of our top guys to USHL, but it's a bit like every 3 years you need to rebuild, right? You got 17, 18, they play till they're 20. So we're going to be, obviously, if I do my job right here, we should be, you know, middle of the pack competing for the top. There's only last year, four teams made the playoffs out of eight in our division. This year, we're going with six because they added an expansion team in Colorado. So there'll be six teams making the playoffs. But we recruited really well. Like, I ended up picking up a couple boys from Sweden and really excited about. Picked up this kid named Matthew Borgo. You guys should keep an eye on this kid, his name. He's committed to RPI, NCAA Division I school. And actually, Chuck, I can't think of his last name now, coach in Coventry, is the assistant coach at RPI. And what he said to me, he said he's going to be a one-year guy. So really what that means, when he plays for us next year, he's big boy, 6'3", 215. When they say he's going to be a one-year guy, that means he's going to spend 1 year at school and he's going to be playing pro somewhere. So for us to pick up this player to add to our core is huge. And then we picked up a huge goaltender from Sweden. And then we picked up a defenseman. He's 6'7", played in the USHL a little bit and played in the top league in Sweden, but wants to go to school, be a Division I player. And the guy can skate and he's 6'7". And to be honest with you, me and my assistant coaches have already decided that when we have a fun day, he's definitely on our team. So so we can have that reach on our side. But no, we're excited. I mean, it's different. It's junior level. We have some 16 to 20-year-olds. They all want to be committed to Division I school. Some of them get Division III offers. But, I mean, Corpus Christi, like, it should become a force in junior hockey. It's like the one problem I think they had in the past is that they've changed coaches every season. There's never been any stability. And I think stability is huge for kids that age. For us to do that and the ownership to believe in me and come in and do that job is nice. I mean, obviously the hard part about it is Katie and the girls stay back in Barrie and I go on my own. And, you know, that's the tough part, but she's like, you love to do this job. You love to be involved in hockey. You love coaching. You love teaching. So she's like, I don't want you to come back at me when we're 65 and say, I didn't let you follow your dream. So obviously I'm extremely thankful to her. Yeah, they come and visit me. Like they come, they have flights. Like the girls come down, like going to Corpus. We're right on the Gulf of Mexico. Wear shorts all season, flip-flops. Our arena, I don't know if you guys have seen pictures. We were sold out the last two games, 7,800 fans. Beautiful facility. Right, you walk out the front door of the arena, the Gulf of Mexico is right there. So the only
I'd thing rather be in Hull Close. I'd rather be in Hull Close. That sounds rubbish.
Yeah. You know what? I would move back to Hull. But no, it's nice. And we need to find the right type of guys to come there and play because it's not your typical hockey town, right? There's the beach, there's the golf, there's you know, the weather is beautiful, so we need people that want to come there and be focused. And we made a lot of changes last year, got rid of a lot of our veteran guys that were, not saying they weren't as committed, but they might have been there for different things than playing hockey and doing what's best for our club.
Honestly, Matty, I'm sure you'll agree we could sit here and listen to another hour and a half.
I think Daddy's going to come and do a scouting trip next year. He'll have to come do a scouting trip.
Yeah, sounds all right to me.
If you want to record a podcast, sounds all right to I'll me. Book a flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get out there.
It's been absolutely wonderful. Unfortunately, I think we're going to have to end it there. I think the fans will absolutely love this, but we've got to just say, I'll start off by thanking Matty for being here. Absolute pleasure as always. We certainly can't wait to hear this one back. But thank you to yourself, Clutes, not only for just joining us today, but myself as a hockey fan in Hull growing up as a very young person. Wonderful years when you were at the Stingrays. Absolute legend here in this hockey town. And thank you very much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to hear not only about your time in Hull. I'm sure fans will just as much enjoy, you know, hearing about, you know, your wonderful career too.
Well, thanks for having me. It was, you know, I'm sure we could have talked probably for another 2 hours, but hopefully we'll get another chance one day. And no, thanks, Matty, for having me on. Thank you. And the fans in Hull, let's get behind this team. And you guys are the best. And hopefully I'll get a chance to come see you guys again. Thank you.
I don't think I could have ended it any better myself. So all that's left to say is that's been episode 12 of Hull Seahawks Behind the Curtain. Make sure you like, follow, share, and subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever else you get your podcasts from. Thank you very much, and look forward to episode 13.